Autolite, 90,000 dealers present Mr. Kirk Douglas in Butcher's Wife. Suspense play produced and edited, William Spitzer.
Wilcox! I say there, Wilcox, old man.
Remming Chester shotgun as I live, breathe, and batter my brains, burgeoning boasts about the battery of batteries the Autolite Staple carries. The battery that needs water three times a year in normal car use.
He's sounding off. Was it not you who defied me to find a camel that got water as long as an Autolite Staple battery?
Defy you, I did, you dubious dunderhead.
Please, no compliments. I concede your claim regarding ordinary one-hump camels, but what about a two-hump camel? Need I say more?
Well, you probably mean he can go twice as long without refilling. But Autolite Staple batteries hold over three times as much liquid reserve above the place as ordinary batteries. Need I say more?
Sounds. You'll have to find a drawbell with four humps.
Even that won't put. Autolite Staple batteries need water only six times a year to normal car use. What's more, in recent tests, based on S8 life cycle standards, Autolite Staple batteries gave 70% longer average life than batteries without Staple features. So get wise. Get an Autolite Staple battery. You're all right. It's Autolite.
And now, with the Butcher's Wife and the performance of Kirk Douglas, Autolite folks once again to keep in suspense.
It started the first day of the job. I was clerk at the department of this supermarket. I hadn't been in Los Angeles a week. My brother left New York. He'd given me this letter to his, a guy who owned a string of these markets. What it was about, could he use me as a good fellow? He'd counted a favor. You know, the guy had this opening, liquor clerk. And come following Monday, I'm at work. I spent the money coating refrigerators with beer, soda water, all that stuff. And sizing up. You know, back we don't have these supermarkets. There was a vegetable department, a nice little dark. There was a delicatessen. That was run by an old geese and his frau. There was a bakery department, a meat department, of course, the groceries. No clerk. You push the little cart around and help yourself. To get out, you passed the cash register, and the girl loaded your stuff and rang up the price. My surveillance of the place reached the girl who checked groceries when the troubles. She was looking at herself in a little mirror and putting on some lipstick. Her back was to me. I see her stop putting on lipstick, but still looking at the mirror. I see her eyes in the mirror. And then she turns around very slowly and looks at me. Just looks at me. She must have been 50 feet away from me, and the customers between us. But it was like we were all alone, two of us on a beach somewhere, an empty beach. I should have looked away. I should have winked and forgotten it. I should have gone on back and been thinking about how to be a success. That I should have done. What I did do was I stood right there and locked eyes with her, I don't know how long. And all the time I was looking at her, I was the mental telegraphs. You and me, babe. You and me.
Hey. Hey, you. Hey.
You and me, baby.
Hey, what's the matter? Sleep on your feet?
What'd you say?
Yeah,
I started this morning.
I'm Nick Arnold. I work the vegetables.
Oh, Harry Carp. Nice to know you.
Yeah. You got the cold beer?
Oh, sure. Cold at the witch's heart. Only don't open here by the counter, you know, it's the law.
Yeah, sure. I have them out back with lunch.
Nick.
What?
The gal over there for the cash thing.
Huh? Mary?
Is that her name? Mary?
Yeah. What about her?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. What about her?
Oh. No soap. What? She's Mary.
Oh, you kidding.
You see that big guy over there tonight? The butcher?
Yeah.
Ask him if I'm kidding.
Well, who's he?
Her husband. See you.
He's a funny-looking guy. A real creep. He stood there stopping tremendous cleaver whistling to himself. He had on, you know, one of those hard straw hats and a white apron. He had those rimless glasses with thick lenses so that his eyes looked like jet balls. When he saw I was looking at him, he nodded and went on whistling and stropped. A real creep. And I watched softening up some sort of steaks. He had a big steel mallet with points on it. He was whacking away at this meat like a plow driver. I watched him grinding and slicing, quartering, sawing the bones off some of the cut. And always those eyes like baseballs. And that teeny little mouth was like a big red face, whistling. And I looked over at her, and she was giving me the eye again. We closed at 7. The vegetable guys carted out the old stuff, delicatessen man put away his... But I checked the register, counted my slips, paid my entries. Krause the butcher was still there packing and cleaning, putting stuff in the big refrigerator room back of the counter. She'd left. I got to my street coat and walked out.
Hello?
He was standing looking at the sheet by a couple of doors down in the market.
I said hello. Don't you say hello wherever it is you come from?
Sure. Hello.
Take it what?
Yeah.
Which way do you go?
Down to Weston.
I'm going that way. I'll drive you.
I don't think you'd better.
What's the matter?
I wouldn't want to trouble you.
No trouble.
Well,
come on. I'm parked.
Yeah, but what about Mr. Krause?
He'll be there an hour. He takes the bus.
Oh.
Come on.
And I...
Come on. Be afraid.
I'm not afraid of you.
You're afraid of me. Come on. Get in.
So I'll keep pushing liquor at them, now I'm pushing it at me.
Oh, you're cute. I mean, really cute.
So are you, baby.
You really think so?
You're a baby.
Hey, let's get out of here someplace else.
Hey, wait, we're eating. Got to work in the morning.
Hey, it is the morning.
It is. Hey, Mac, what's the time?
2:30.
You really think I'm kidding?
Oh, sure, baby. Look, but it's late.
Oh, worry, sugar.
Look, come on. I'll take you home.
No, no. I'll take you home.
Oh, I felt lousy the next morning. I'm not much of a thinker. She was fresh as a daisy, smiling and joking with the customers. I didn't go over there. I didn't want her. I didn't want to think about what must have gone on between her and Krause when she got in. He didn't look happy. I knew why. I kept thinking for him to turn those baseball eyes on me. He never did. Just went on smashing, slicing, grinding, sawing. Oh. I came out that night. She was there. I tried to disregard her.
Harry.
She said you had something very serious to talk over. Well, the way she said it, I got in the car again.
He's awful, Harry. Really, you don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's
you
tough.
Just wouldn't believe so.
Yeah, look, Mary,
he's crazy jealous. That's really...
Well, I guess it's...
Jealous of me, or should I say you?
Me? What's he know about me?
Well, I got in this morning, and there he was, sitting up like grandma on his bathrobe. He says, where you been? I said, what's it to you, Auntie? They call him Auntie. It drives him crazy.
Now, look, Mary,
so he said, don't think you can fool me. And he started crying and saying things about Babylon and sitting on the waters. Crazy talk.
I better go.
Harry, don't be silly. He doesn't know who you are. Who it is?
Yeah, but he could find out.
Not unless I told him.
Oh, look, you wouldn't do that.
Of course not, baby. As long as you're good to me.
next night, I stayed in the market. I was scared. I didn't want any more of that stuff. I did inventory, count the bottles, clean the refrigerator, change the soft drinks cooler, kept busy. Across the market, Cross was looking around, cleaning up. After a while, he took off his apron and his straw hat, and he came over. Hello, Mr. Krause.
Give me a bottle of beer.
Sure thing.
All right, Detective, dear?
Sure. We're closed, aren't we?
Yeah.
Here. Here's an opener.
Thanks. You're working late.
Well, you know how it is. Nothing to do even.
No?
I'm new out here. Takes time to make friends.
Yeah. Maybe it would take time. But not for a good-looking young fella like yourself.
Oh, I don't know. You're a big, broad-shouldered guy.
Yeah, sure. But that's me.
How's the beer?
It's all right. No, my wife.
Your wife?
Yeah, you know her?
Isn't she the grocer?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice-looking lady.
You think so?
Well, of course, don't get me wrong. I mean it very sincerely. A very nice, respectful-looking...
Yeah, sure. Have you noticed anything funny going on there?
Funny?
Somebody's playing around with her. And I have to find out who.
Well,
you wouldn't think it now, would you?
No, I should say not.
I don't know who it is, but listen, haven't you noticed anything? I mean, some guy who shoots the breeze with her or something like that.
No, no.
Will you do me a favor?
Sure. What?
Keep your eyes open.
Oh, I will, Mr. Krause. I promise you.
I'll find the guy. I'll find who he is if it takes Peter. Then I do. I'll kill him. Good night.
Good night.
Olight is you, Kirk Douglas, in The Butcher's Wife. Tonight's production in radio's outstanding theater of thrills, Suspense.
I say, Wilcox, you're keeping me in suspense.
No, but not for long, Chester, old man. I'll tell you here and now, you just can't find anything. Man, be store battery to beat the liquid reserve of a genuine Opalite Stay Full battery.
That's a powerful statement, Wilcox.
That's a powerful battery, Reming Chester. Needs water only three times a year. Normal car use.
Extraordinary. I must be on the way if I find a more capacious camel. After all, life is short.
Not the life of the Autolite Stayful battery. With fiberglass retaining mats at every positive plate, Autolite Stayful batteries give 70% longer average life than batteries without Stayful features. That's based on recent tests conducted according to SAE life cycle standards. See your Autolite dealer soon, friends, because you're always right. It's Autolite.
And now, Autolite brings back to our Hollywood soundstage our star, Kirk Douglas, in The Butcher's Wife, a tale calculated to keep you in suspense.
See how it happens? You go along, and in your own business, trying to be a sweet guy at Swammy. Up pops the devil. Roof caved in, and there you are. The executioner's honing the axe and whispering to himself. I tell you, I was nervous. My hands were stinging, my teeth were aching. Well, if it hadn't been for needing the job, I'd have put on my coat and hot-tailed it out of there as fast. That was the situation. And Mary's looking over at me every now and then, give it to the big eyes. The heck with you, baby, get yourself another boy. And Krause looking over, raising his eyebrows, do I know who it is yet? And I'm making a long face and shake my head. Then Nick, the vegetable man, comes over.
I see you didn't understand what I told you the other day.
What's that, Nick?
About Mary. I told you she was a married woman.
Oh, what are you talking about?
I see you, the both of you, coming out of a bar the other morning.
You're nuts, Nick.
Don't pull the hard face with me, Harry.
What?
I ought to tip Krause off to what's going on.
Nick, be a good guy, will you?
Be a good guy, will you? I'm telling you, you better be a good guy. And leave Butch's wife alone. That's good for you.
Look, I will, Nick. I swear it. It was a mistake, that's all.
Yeah.
Be a good guy, Nick. Forget about it.
But this once, okay. But do it again and you'll get what's coming to you.
Sure, Nick.
And I'm not just
sure.
Talking.
Harry.
What? Blow, will you? Blow.
Harry, I wish you wouldn't screw this
look,
way.
Look, blow, get away.
Look at me, Harry.
Don't you know your husband's watching you?
Take his glasses off. He could probably buckle. You better be nice to me, Harry.
Please, Mary, please go back to your cash register.
I want to see you tonight.
No.
Oh, yes.
Look, understand me, Mary. You're poison. Now get away.
You'll see me, look, Harry, or you'll see Sprouse.
All right. Where?
I'll be quiet. Around the corner.
Around the corner.
Don't be late. Oh, Harry. Stop being... Come on, get in.
Look, please, can't you understand? I don't want any...
What are you so afraid of?
Bravo.
Oh, come on, baby. Go and have
look,
some...
Please,
what's the matter?
Oh. Hello, Nick.
I warn you.
Listen, you've got it wrong,
Nick. Oh, no.
What is all this?
Shut up.
Don't you talk to me like that.
I feel like, please, cheat.
Harry, hit him, Harry.
Hit. He was looking down the nose at me. He was a nice, wide-open target, but I didn't hit him. Because all of a sudden, I knew what I had to do. I knew I had to do it fast.
Harry! Hey, where are you going, baby?
I didn't turn. Nick still backed up beside the car. I went into the mall. Mr. Krause? Mr. Krause?
Yeah?
I...
What?
I found out.
What? I can't hear you.
I said I found out. I found out who it is.
Who?
Nick.
The vegetable man.
Yeah.
The vegetable man.
But I didn't want to get in trouble. I told him the layoff. He said nuts. He said if I had my mind, he'd take with me that I was the one.
Vegetable man.
I'm sorry, Mr. Krause.
Never like him. I never did like him.
Well, good night.
Good night.
I took a bottle of brandy off of me. I just laid there on the bed about 3 hours. Talking to myself. Finally, the heck with the job. Got up. Out of the pack. I was broke, but I didn't care. I'd have to skip out on the rent, but it didn't matter. I didn't care. I wanted out from Krause, from Mary, from Nick. And suddenly, I think, even if Nick was a sleeping little rat with his horse, then now I ought to clear him. So I wrote a note to Krause. I said, I did it, Krause. Don't blame anybody else. I put the note in my bag and the key to the market, and I tiptoed out of the rooming house. Caught a bus, went to the market. The boulevard was deserted. I looked into the glass door. In the back of the place up high, there was a red neon beer sign that blinked on and off. Unlocked the door, went in, locked the door behind me. The place is kind of eerie in the dark, what with that red light blinking on and off, and 1 minute the place is pitch black, and the next is a thousand little red lights bouncing off cans up in the grocery spot. I went to the butcher counter first. I laid the note on the scale to be sure to see it. Then I crossed over past the vegetables and the people testing to the liquor department. Stop bumping into things, and oh, why am I acting like a criminal? Why turn on what? It was suddenly so dazzling it hurt my eyes. I looked at the cash register. I was just thinking, maybe I'll take a couple of bucks. It happened. There were other switches in the place. I didn't know where. After the brightness, the place seemed twice as dark. The red sign blinked on and off, on and off. Then I saw... He was standing behind a meat counter at the table. And he got my note. I did it to Krause, and he read it.
can't see his eyes, just the glasses. And every time the blink is shown red, red like some sort of terrible toy. And every man can see him. And it was like a movie that you see one thing at a time. Each time the light blinked up, he wasn't have been before. Closer. Closer. Kraus! Kraus! Mr. Kraus!
Red glasses come at me. I edged over to the vegetables, and he moved too. I moved the other way to the groceries. There was a railing. Climbed over. Was in one of the long, narrow aisles of cans and bottles. The stuff was piled head high. I waited. Maybe he didn't see me, but he did. I hid behind a stack of canned dog food. He sounded 30 or 40 feet away. I waited. Around the corner, he was sitting down another aisle. I got my head back. Couldn't understand it, son. I looked at him. I was empty, but in the center where Kraus had stood were his shoes. He'd take it off. Very quietly. Then he took mine off. And I began to tiptoe away from where I'd seen him. And then I found the corner. There he was, about 2 feet away with his back to me. And I lost my foot. I put my head steady. A whole stack of cans went over. I'm in. I kept seeing by what... I was at the end of an aisle, and there was the wall. The wall. And I turned, and he was coming. Coming straight at me. I handed something cold, a bottle. I grabbed it. It was ammonia. Kraus, back. Get back, Kraus. Fine. Kraus, I'll... He did go like a crazy man. A cyclops tearing his eyes, the ammonia running down his face. Didn't I ran past the plenty of massage, ran around the cash register, packed delicatessen bakery to the door. It was locked. The key, well, I'd left it in the lock, it was gone. Tried to break the glass with my... But it was like steel. Well, I'm kicking my shoes behind. Kraus kept coming, feeling his way along, moaning. In the blinking light, I could he still had the knife in his hand. I slid behind the counter of the meat department. Oh, up my sword. I bent, scooped my handful. His neck was all twisted, gleaming. His glasses were gone, and his eyes screwed shut in pain. He stopped 10 feet away. And he opened his eyes, opened them as wide as he could, moved his head from side to side, trying nearsightedly to see me. Then his head stopped moving, and holding it sideways, using one eye to see, he came on the knife up way back. I waited. I let fly with the sawdust and jumped to one side against the box, and he twisted and hit it in the sawdust, and he fell. He was very close for a moment. I waited. He rose to his... The brilliant light. Saw the knife. He'd fallen on it. It stuck out of the middle of his chest. Kraus! Then, very slowly, he got to his feet, one hand to the place where the knife was, and started towards me again. There was a rack at his chopping block. He reached up and got a cleaver. I backed. Behind me, I felt a large cold handle. The door to the meat storeroom. He should open. Inside it was cold, bitter cold, and dark. In front of the door was one small thick pane of glass. It was clouded. I clicked with my hand and looked. Kraus stood there, his face an inch from mine, looked in. And then his eyes rolled back and his face went slack, out of sight. I felt around in the dark for the knife, but I couldn't find it. I felt the door from top to bottom. There were bars and bolts and something that felt like a handle. I yanked and tugged, but it wouldn't move. There was a knife, a slab, a butcher knife. I felt around the door for a crack, slipped the knife in, and twist it.
Oh. Another door. I thought maybe there's... Oh, please. Another door out of this place. I began to search for it in the dark, feeling over the icy, damp walls. I walked into something cool that when I touched it... Oh, the side of beef. But no door. I moved. There are a cool thing. And I moved on and up with another. Cold is the best, but. And I'm crazy. I know it. I'm crazy. This one. Clothes wearing silk stockings. Here I am. It's awfully cold. Cold as the witch's heart. Cold as a tomb. This thing I have in my hand, this knife handle. I wish it had a blade. I know what I do. I know, but it hasn't. Anyway, well, I'm innocent of anything. They'll believe me. They will. There's a letter outside on the scale. It says, I did the Krause. Don't blame anybody else. And there's a suitcase. Well, that'll prove I go away enough. Was anybody a hard time? And there's... Oh, time goes slow. And I'm waiting. And waiting. And waiting. I'll tell us the whole story again. And again. It'll give me something to do, you know. Something to think about. You see, it started the first day of the job. I was clerking the letter department at the supermarket. I hadn't been lost a week. My brother, when I left New York, had given me this letter to a friend of his. You know, a guy opening the supermarket. The letter was about to use me. I was a good fellow. Count in the favor, you know. The guy had this old paper quest. The first day, and I come back.
Suspense, presented by Autolite. Tonight's star, Kirk Douglas. Reming Chester.
Marsh, hey, you gave me a start.
No, I didn't, Reming Chester, old man. Then your new Autolite's full battery device. That needs water only three times a year in normal car use. Just the same for starting tight. And remember, it's just one of more than 400 products made by Autolite for cars, trucks, planes, and boats in 28 plants coast to coast. These include complete electrical systems for many makes of America's finest cars. Batteries, spark plugs, generators, coils, distributors, starting motors, Autolite bullseye seal beam headlights. All engineered to fit together perfectly, work together perfectly. They're a perfect team. So don't accept electrical parts supposed to be as good as and insist on Autolite original factory parts at your neighborhood service station, car, garage, repair shop. Remember, always right with Autolite. Next Thursday for Suspense, Marlena Dietrich will be our star. The play is called Murder Strikes Three Times. It is, as we say,
a tale well calculated to keep suspense.
Tonight's Suspense play was produced and edited by William Spear and directed by Norman MacDonald. Music for Suspense is composed by Lucian Morawek and conducted by Lud Gluskin. The Butcher's Wife is an original play for radio by James Poe. Kirk Douglas, whose thrilling performance on Champion has placed him among the Academy Award contenders, will soon be seen in Young Man with a Horn.
You can buy Autolite Faithful Battles with Autolite regular or resistance plugs, Autolite electrical parts at your neighborhood Autolite dealers. Switch to Autolite. Good night.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.